welcome to the ADHD Manual Podcast. My name is Abby Chow. I'm a marriage and family therapist, an ADHD certified clinical services provider, and a proud ADHDer. This is a podcast for people with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder and those who love us, which covers pretty much everybody. Growing up with a colorful brain in a black and white world can make us feel like aliens. The manual we were given to guide us through life doesn't have any diagrams of the parts we have. I've decided to stop throwing away my parts and start throwing away this useless manual to write my own. So kick off your shoes, have a seat, and take a break from fitting yourself into a mold that's not your shape. You belong here. Allies, welcome to the ADHD planet. ADHDers, welcome home. Hello, dear friends. It's just me, just Abby. Hum is not with me today. I know. I miss her too. We've had a busy week and I've been recording my other podcast with my friend Starlisha on Wednesday nights. So that's it's just made it tough to coordinate both Hum and I being able to record together. So I'm recording this at 3 a.m. but yeah, so it's just tough to sync up some schedules, but I'm hoping she'll be back soon. And speaking of the other podcast, it's up and running. We have a name for it now and everything. So, again, it is, a recap and review, about the new Fox reality dating show, Farmer Wants a Wife. and I do it with my friend, Starlisha. I've been friends with for many years, in Pennsylvania. So, yeah, it's kind of fun that we were able to do that from far away, and it's been a real blast. And the show has been a, such an interesting ride. So I recommend it. So it's called Happily Ever Pasture. And it's full of farming puns and my friend Star grew up on a farm in Pennsylvania, so she has a really unique insight on what that's like. So yeah, I mean, it's just lighthearted, you know, like I'm just trying to prove to you that I know how to have fun, and I don't, you know, spend all of my waking hours being sad or frustrated. So check it out, Happily Ever Pasture. And yeah, so for those of you who see me in video form on Patreon, you might notice that I have new glasses. And you might also further notice that the lenses are bright yellow. and that's for like blue light blocking. And I do have a, I'm going to get a pair with less yellow lenses, you know, for when I'm not, when I have to interact with people and appear in quote unquote public, rather than just sit by myself in front of the computer. So yeah, I'm going to get better glasses, but I mean, it's been great. I've just had them for the first day today and I already feel better. You know, less headaches and less like dry eyes, which I usually have a lot of issues with staring at screens. So, but it does give me the kind of the look of, like if John Lennon were like a librarian, but like also a bug, you know, a Lenbruggian, if you will, look. So yeah. Apologize for that, but you know, just doing me. You might also notice that I am sitting here in my pajamas and freshly showered, because today I'm here to talk to you about sleeping, more specifically ADHD and sleeping, and specific ADHD and not sleeping. case in point. So yeah, so I thought I would just share some thoughts about that, there's a lot out there about like why exactly, you know, ADHD might related to sleep troubles. I'm sorry. I don't know if the mic can pick it up, but Max is screaming at the door. So one second. So I have a few minutes before he starts screaming to be let out. First of all, I just want to like lead off with a disclaimer that there are just a huge diversity in sleep experiences among ADHDers. The only like, you know, and so if I, you know, describe anything that you are like, no way, that's not my experience, don't freak out. There are as many, you know, sleep habits, sleep issues, sleep, you know, tricks as there are ADHDers and really as there are people. That really the only kind of common thread I see in ADHDers regarding sleep is that everyone has a weird sleep thing. I know ADHDers who have like no trouble sleeping, who like, you know, have a very, you know, get good sleep, but their weird thing is that they have like a really rigid schedule and very like particular things that they have to do and at particular times. So that's how some people manage it. Some people are like, you know, my sleep is chaos. You know, that's my weird sleep thing. Some people are like, you know, like everyone has a weird thing. And that's really the only, the common thread there. I'll definitely mention things that you'll be like, what? That's crazy. I don't even know what that's like. As you might be able to see, you know, recording at 3 a.m. and as I've mentioned, my typical bedtime as of late has been like between like 5 and 6 a.m. On a good night, sometimes. And I know I have a ton of reasons for why that is, or guesses, I guess. There are also like some sciencey reasons for why we might experience sleep disturbances. I'll just like, you know, rattle some of those off as well. And I got a lot of the sciencey pieces from our friend, Dr. William Dodson, and his article on attitude called ADHD and Sleep Problems. This is Why You're Always Tired. I found that article very cool and helpful, and has some cool stats that I wrote down that I can share with you. One of them is that, you know, just how widespread and very common sleep issues are among ADHDers. He mentioned some percentages of like 10 to 15% of kids with ADHD struggle with like either falling or staying asleep or some kind of sleep, issue. Which is, I think, like 2 to 3 times higher than, the average amount of kids who might have trouble sleeping. And it just keeps getting worse as you get older. So that's something that was very prevalent throughout, is that there's like 10 to 15% of kids, but then like by age 12, that jumps up to like 50% of kids with ADHD who are struggling with some capacity of sleeping. And then by the time ADHDers are 30 years old, like that jumps up to like 70% of adults with ADHD who have issues sleeping. And when we say issues sleeping, we mean, any issue with sleeping at all. So that can be trouble falling asleep. It can mean trouble getting into bed. It can mean trouble staying asleep or very restless sleep. And it could also mean difficulty waking up or staying awake. So there's really like, there's an, kind of an, a limitless amount of problems you can have in the sleeping department. So that's kind of what we mean when we say sleep disturbances. It can really, we often think that it just means falling asleep, but it can really mean a lot of different things. And narrowing down what exactly is the, like the holdup can really make a difference as to how you address it. So in terms of like why exactly ADHDers struggle so much with falling asleep or staying asleep, et cetera, so the science-y reasons are like really number one is that if you think about it, sleeping and waking up is entirely a process of regulation. And if you have listened to it, even 5 minutes of my podcast over the years, you will, you know that ADHD is, I think in my view, and I think, can be agreed upon by many people, is primarily an issue of regulation. Regulating attention, regulating focus, regulating, behavior, thoughts, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So of course it would make sense that this process of regulating when you fall asleep and when you wake up, would be impacted by that, by, something that, affects how you regulate. So in terms of like the reasons, as to why that is, like that's, I think that's number one. I think that's really the biggest thing. And something that Dr. Dodson talks about in the article is that there's a very like common misconception that that the real issue with why people with ADHD have trouble with sleeping is because of stimulant medications that they're taking. And that is, I'm not saying that's not impossible. I think some people might find that to be true. But I think in the vast majority of cases, that is not the case. And it's not a matter of, the medications keeping you up. And if you are finding that your stimulant medication, like your sleep has gotten significantly worse since you've been on stimulants and that you find that it doesn't persist when you are not on stimulants, if you're finding that, then that is definitely something to talk to about with your doctor about, because that is important and will make a big difference in what is the best medication regimen for you. And that's something that, I've talked about that before, and I'm a broken record in terms of that. Like, if your medication is not, if your medication is helping you focus and helping you, be better at your job or whatever, but it's impacting your sleep, it's making you feel like a zombie, it's making you feel like not yourself, if it's, significantly impacting your appetite, sex drive, relationships, whatever. If it's impacting you in a negative way, then that is, that means that, it calls for a change. So, I frequently talk about how like I hate the productivity standard for determining the efficacy of medication. I think that's BS. And that there are many more, sorry, Max is trying to climb up on me. There are many more markers of success, for medication and many more meaningful, areas of your life that, are important too. And don't overlook them just because you can, make your boss happy. There's a misconception that, that's just part of the deal with stimulants is that, okay, it makes it hard to sleep. And that's really not what I have found to be common in my experience with myself and with other ADHDers. And it's also, and Dr. Dodson also mentions that it's not something that he sees in his practice with his patients either. That it's actually, it's quite the opposite. If it is ADHD that is impairing sleep, whether the reason is because of like restless, body, having trouble like laying still long enough, if it's with restless mind, a lot of people find that they have a lot of trouble turning their brain off, being at peace long enough to fall asleep, or any number of things. If it's directly related to ADHD, that's causing your sleep issues, then, in most of the time, stimulant medication actually will help. I think you'll hear a lot about people with ADHD finding that stimulant medication makes them, more peaceful, more able to quiet their mind, not tired exactly, but just more relaxed. So that's sorry. Max is, oh boy, you are really something. So that is something that sometimes will help people. I'll go over, I have a list of little tips and stuff at the end that I'll come back to medication stuff. Something that I found interesting about this article is that in terms of hypothesizing how exactly ADHD impacts sleep, is that Dr. Johnson also observed that he found that in a huge chunk of his adult ADHD patients, that there was a time usually after 4 a.m. when people reported that they fall into a dead sleep, very, very deep sleep, and that they have a lot of trouble waking up as a result. And so that's kind of something that not quite a mystery, but something that is kind of interesting about when we're looking at connections between ADHD and sleep, because, on the one hand, it makes sense that ADHD would make it difficult to be asleep, right? But on the other hand, it's very fascinating that ADHD might also make it difficult to be awake. So for that reason, it kind of brings up the likelihood that it is about regulation and about, because a lot of people describe, I think the word he used was perverse sleep. So the experience of when you want to be awake, you're asleep. And when you want to be asleep, you're awake. Just kind of a general disarray of controlling your own mind and your own wakefulness. So I definitely fall into that camp. Waking up has always been extremely difficult for me. I've never been a morning person. So that's definitely been my experience. But one last science-y reason before I moved on is that in terms of the deep sleep, difficulty falling asleep and also waking up, it also kind of calls into question the possibility that our circadian clock or circadian rhythm, you might hear it referred to when we're talking about sleep. Oftentimes we you hear the term circadian rhythm tossed around, which is kind of the rhythm of being asleep and awake, and when your body naturally wants to be sleeping and resting, and when it wants to be awake. Not surprisingly, that's often kind of thrown off in people with ADHD. And what was interesting, though, about the article is that he mentioned, this might make a sense for in terms of people with ADHD in general, oftentimes having difficulty with the passage of time and how, like, feeling time passing and feeling like it's kind of a very abstract concept. So I read that and I was like, oh, duh. Like, it it definitely makes sense that like, I might find myself in an atypical sleeping and waking routine, because that's kind of my my everyday. Like, time is always kind of passing. Oh, there was something really funny the other day, because we just had daylight savings a week or two ago, of springing forward. So we'd set the clocks forward an hour. For some reason, it just really threw Hum for a loop this year. Like, it was just like days of her being like, what? It's already 4 o'clock. It's already 5 o'clock. Like, no way. That can't be right. So it just, it really disoriented her for a couple days. And, it was kind of messing me up too, but I was like, I don't really, feel like that upset by it. It doesn't feel like very new to me, because I was like, this is kind of my everyday all the time. Like, and so I told her, I was like, this is how I feel every day. You know, just, it's just a constant, you know, steady stream of saying, it's already X o'clock, you know, like, that's just kind of like, it can't be, like, that time can't be right. Like, I swear it was just, you know, 2 o'clock, 5 minutes ago. So yeah, so she was like, oh my gosh, that's awful. So yeah, so it definitely didn't surprise me that, that circadian clock, internal clock, would be related to, sleeping, quirks, as well as, you know, what we might refer to as time blindness or, difficulties with, judging time. So yeah, so that made sense to me, but, so that's like some hypotheses about like why ADHD might affect sleep. For me, in terms of like my own reflection, about why, you know, I spent a lot of time thinking about this, like about what exactly, you know, is, why do I have such, different sleep patterns? 'Cause it's hard, you know, it's hard to be out of step with, basically how the rest of the world is operating. Like, I just, I won't go off on it right now, but, I can go off about like our country's tendency to, you know, very like, glorify morning people. just the tendency to kind of like, equate rising early and going to sleep early with like moral righteousness and, you know, so how that somehow makes you a better person. But yeah, I won't go off on that, but but yeah. So I've been reflecting on it a lot because it's tough. And it is not for lack of trying, that my sleep schedule is like this. I have definitely, tried, for many, many months, maybe years, actually probably years. It's probably been my whole lifetime that I've been trying to make my sleep schedule, to match how people tell me it should be. You know, even as a kid, I would definitely, I'd always kind of be a night owl. I'd feel more awake at night. and I would have a lot of trouble getting up, early in the morning. And still, I don't really feel, even if I wake up earlier or I'm forced to wake up earlier, I often don't really feel awake, or alert until, you know, late morning, early afternoon. So yeah, so it's definitely not anything new, but it has gotten much more exaggerated, I think, since the pandemic, and since, my like state of employment has been a little more, you know, open-ended, and how I've been a little bit more, had my time a little more open. So some hypotheses I have about how my sleep schedule ended up this way is one of them I think that I've noticed is that I tend to really rely on late nights for decompression alone time, which is something I rely on very heavily. Is something that's very, crucial. Oftentimes, you've met my wife, she's, delightful and, very kind and a wonderful presence. And still, there's just something about being alone and not having another person share the space I'm in. That is just something that I really crave. And I think it stems from a lot of stuff that I'm sure people can relate to about, very old or long-reaching, wounds, I guess, about not behaving in the way that other people deem as normal. And even if my wife is completely pretty much not surprised anymore by anything I say or do, it's still just something about not having to be aware of someone else's attention on you. That is just something I really need. So that does make a big difference. And I noticed this because and it's just something about I just really need a good chunk of time, because if Hum goes to bed later, in terms of her bedtime, later than her normal bedtime, then I also, go to bed later than my normal bedtime, which really kind of stretches it into the wee morning hours, and that's just about just needing to be the only awake person in my space. And related to that, I also think that even stemming back to my childhood, it's something that I've noticed that when I go to bed is also somewhat dependent on how much control I feel like I have over my time during the day. So if I have a day where, I'm pretty, I don't really have a lot of other things, or demands or expectations of me, then it's a little more easy, to go to bed earlier because I feel like I've had adequate control over the day. I've heard this described as revenge bedtime procrastination, I think. It's some dramatically hostile description. But basically that's what it is that I notice that if I feel that for whatever reason I'm busier or there's just more there's more times when I'm not able to control what I'm doing during the day. And sometimes that's not even from other people. It's also on myself. There's definitely times where, there's things that I should be doing, So during the day, I'm not doing what I should be doing, but I feel like I should be doing them. So I'm not really relaxing either. It just feels like my time is kind of held hostage by this thing that's kind of looming over my head, even though I just can't, for whatever reason, I can't do it. That's just something I've noticed for myself is that, and something I've just been, I guess, trying, experimenting, if I maybe give myself, free unstructured time, alone time during the day, I wonder if that would make me feel less, like I have to take that time at 3:30 in the morning. So that's just something that I've noticed for myself. But I think it's definitely as diverse as there are ADHDers. So you might find this to be different for you. Something interesting that I have experienced and that I read in this article regarding the difficulty staying awake is that I read that a lot of people will describe moments during the day where they feel suddenly extremely drowsy, usually related to, the brain kind of losing interest or just kind of like zapping all the dopamine out of a given situation. And so it goes searching for more. And sometimes that leads to people feeling extremely sleepy as the mind kind of detaches from whatever is not benefiting it and in search of something that will give it what it needs. So that's definitely something I've experienced. And I did spend a lot of time reflecting on it in grad school, pre-diagnosis. So, and I did notice that, like in grad school, I made the connection that I would get really sleepy when there was something, there was an assignment I had to do, and I just couldn't bring myself to do it. And so in those times when I would feel very overwhelmed and, like very heavy and unable, to, initiate any tasks, I would get very, very sleepy. So that's also something kind of interesting that I heard, and again, something that stimulant medication might help with, or has helped with for me. And something else to note that if you're having issues with sleep, something make sure that you are discussing with your doctor what you're experiencing, and because there are many comorbid conditions or disorders that could also be impacting your ability to regulate your sleep. One of which is delayed sleep phase syndrome, which is exactly what it sounds like. It's like your phases of sleeping and waking are just a few hours off of other people's. And I know people who have gone through treatment for that, and it's pretty interesting. It involves, coordinating with a sleep doctor, and one part of it was wearing special glasses before bedtime, and also going to bed at specific times, and slowly adjusting that. If that is, if that is sounds like something that's for you, it might be worth looking it up, talking to a doctor, getting a referral for a sleep doctor, a sleep study, and looking into that. So that is why it's kind of important to be talking to a doctor no matter what your sleep issues are, because it could be a lot of different things. It could be physiological as well. It could be a thyroid issue. Could be, there are tons of stuff, like diabetes. It could be, there are tons of things that can impact your sleep. And so it is important. It's one of those things where it is worth pursuing and looking into, and something that I will probably be addressing soon. It's on my list of long list of things to talk to my doctor about. So to close, just a random assortment of tips that I have heard, and actually, I'm just going to say what has helped me, because I know that when I, I know if you struggle with sleep in whatever way, I am confident that you have looked it up and you have read the endless articles about sleep hygiene, and have tried many, if not all of them. Of the strategies suggested. And so those tend to just kind of go in one ear and out the other for me. So if it's just kind of a generic, make sure we'll avoid blue lights, whatever kind of list. That tends to really fly by me. So I will just say, personally, what has helped me, or just in general, for me, it's going to bed that is a struggle for me. And typically by the time I get to bed, I do fall asleep fairly easily. And it's just the, like, the getting to bed, that is kind of tricky. And I think that, part of it is because of, you know, what Dr. Dodson mentioned about, like, many people, before the 4 a.m. ish deep sleep, like dead sleep kind of phase, it's typically very restless. And so I think because I don't tend to go to sleep until, well after 4 a.m., I think in when times when I've tried to go to bed earlier than that, I have felt very, very restless. So, anyway, so, what I tend to do, and the ways that I fall asleep when I do finally get to bed, is like, I do have a routine and I have like a system of what I tend to do, you know, in order. You know, I think it's important to have your bedtime routine be, as like, what am I saying? Like automatic, I think is the word I'm looking for, as automatic as possible. Because when you're tired, you're not gonna be able to think all of those decisions through. So make sure you're making all the bedtime routine decisions before you have to do them. I found that splitting up my bedtime, like getting ready for bed routine, has helped a lot, because things like brushing my teeth, like taking my inhaler medicine, washing my face, you know, things like that, brushing my hair sometimes or something, those things tend to get harder and harder when I'm more tired, which makes me postpone going to bed because I'm too tired to do all the bedtime things I have to do before sleeping. yeah, so I try to kind of split up my various bedtime tasks so I don't have to do them all when I'm sleepy. And in terms of that, like I do, I think in general, it's a, something you might've heard, before or a lot is, to try not to lay awake, or lie awake in bed too long, and try to keep bed for when you're sleepy. And like if you're feeling restless, if you're having trouble falling asleep, then trying to like get up and move around and go to a different place. Like partly because, you know, to kind of save, that kind of association between bed and sleepy. And also to, I think it's always, easier to fall asleep when, you know, you don't have the pressure of like, I'm supposed to be asleep. So sometimes like getting up, moving somewhere else, you know, kind of taking your mind off of the task of falling asleep can help, has helped me. medication has also helped me. I'm on trazodone, which is technically an antidepressant, but has sedating effects. So that's, pretty common, with people with ADHD who have sleep issues, and something interesting that I did read in the same article was a lot of people use melatonin, right? A lot of people of all neurotypes talk about melatonin often as a sleep aid. Something interesting that I read in this article is that typically the dosage of melatonin that is available or offered, like over the counter, is actually tends to be too much. And that the most effective dose of melatonin tends to be like one milligram or less. I think it's in one. I'm pretty sure it's milligram, not gram, but yeah, like a very small amount actually, which was interesting. I think a lot of people tend to, with any kind of medication, like if they're not falling asleep, then they tend to take more, and oftentimes that can actually have the reverse effect. So. I just thought that was a cool tidbit. I don't really take melatonin, but if you do, might be worth an experiment. See if it's more effective if you use less. You know, tell me how that goes. If you try it, I'm very curious. Something that also helps me is that I always listen to a podcast when I am in bed falling asleep, there are tons of sleep-related podcasts out there. There's no shortage of them, so it's they're not hard to find. Ones that I like is the Sleep With Me podcast is nice, that I have been listening to on and off for years, but so that's pretty nice. It's kind of this guy that kind of makes up stories, and he has some like fantasy tales that he kind of makes up, and it's kind of a nice basically the point is like to give your brain something kind of low low effort and but with a narrative to follow while it falls asleep. Basically the default mode network in your brain needs to have something to keep it busy while you like fall asleep, and with a little sleight of hand trick kind of thing. So any podcast that will kind of do that is a recommendation of mine. So Sleep With Me is one. I also enjoy Nothing Much Happens, which is a sweet podcast with just like little stories. And something unique about hers is that like she writes a story and she tells it, and then she tells it a second time actually, and goes a lot slower. So the narrative, as well as the repetition and gradual like phase out, I think is a kind of a helpful thing for helping your brain kind of ease out of it and into sleep. Let's see. I think the last or the couple of last one of us is Just Sleep, I'm pretty sure it's called, which is basically like she tells old stories. She reads old fairy tales, old books by Dickens and Wharton and Anne of Green Gables, and like a lot of like really old stories that are moved into the common public domain and are oftentimes kind of familiar stories. And I like her voice a lot, so I enjoy that one. It is Just Sleep. Yep, that's the name of that one. And then the last one is that doesn't update as frequently, but I really enjoy it. It's called the I Can't Sleep podcast. And with that one, he just reads Wikipedia articles, which is delightful. So, those are my podcast recommendations. But again, there's tons out there, and I'm sure you could find with a little experimenting what would suit your fancy. So those are my thoughts about sleep. This is not as short as I wanted it to be, as always. So anyway, good night, sleep well, sweet dreams. I love you, and take care of yourself. And also keep in mind that sleeping can be hard, and give yourself a break, and also it helps me to remember if I'm trying to fall asleep and I'm getting stressed out because I can't sleep, which makes me less likely to sleep, that kind of evil cycle. I try to remind myself that any rest is good for my body and it's good for my brain. And sometimes that takes a little of the pressure off of doing getting the perfect sleep. Just remembering that any time that I take to be quiet and to be still, it's still good for your body. So if that helps you, have it. I'll see you next time, and take care. Bye. That's all for this episode, but there is plenty more at my website, theadhdmanual.com. That's theadhdmanual.com. You can find me on Facebook, Twitter, and Reddit at The ADHD Manual. Do you have a question, comment, or story? Then I want to hear it. Email me at theadhdmanual@gmail.com. Very special thank you to my brother, Joe Miner, for composing this theme music, and thank you so much for listening. And remember to be kind to yourself. See you next time.